All right, praise the Lord, folks. For our final hymn this morning, prior to the sermon, let's open up to 302. Aren't you glad Jesus came 2,000 years ago and provided a redemption whereby we might be saved from our sins? Yes, indeed. 302. Come thou fount. I'm so glad he did. And we're going to sing all three. Remain seated.
Of every blessing, tune mine heart to sing thy praise. Things of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Is the light I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I'll raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I call. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home.
Amen.
Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, means to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace fall like a feather by my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great words there. Indeed. Oh, what a blessing. And I tell you, it's just so good to worship the Lord with y'all, as Lisa says from down south, on Christmas Sunday. Praise God for that. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And if anybody needs a pew Bible, we've got plenty. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Right here in the front. Open up to Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke chapter 1. I've had a great time when the family was in Massachusetts yesterday preparing this morning's message. This Sunday is my second favorite Sunday of the year. You all know my favorite Sunday of the year is Resurrection Sunday, you know? But I'm so thankful that there couldn't have been a resurrection if there wasn't an incarnation. Amen? Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Now, here in Luke chapter 1, before I read our text here, I got a message on Facebook this week from a certain individual. He's a pastor, friend of mine. And he was telling me that I'm unbiblical and I'm out of God's will and I'm celebrating Jesus' birth on December 25th. And how pagan that is. And, you know, they'd all but call me a devil worshiper. And I said, you know, I said, brother, December 25th is the day that we as God's people choose to celebrate his birth. Mm-hmm. I said, we don't know what day he was born. And it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The only thing that matters is that he was born. Mm-hmm. And we choose to celebrate his incarnation. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not. Yeah. He got off quick. Mm-hmm. Folks, you people are so messed up on this. Thinking that we're observing some, you know, pagan festival, holiday, something. And we're worshiping Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. And here in chapter 1, we have the actual account of his coming. Amen? Look at, the Bible is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what Brother So-and-so says, just what the Bible says. Now here in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, we have the man, Zechariah, and his wife Elizabeth. And Zechariah was of the priestly order. He's inside the temple doing his business of, his job was to light the incense, okay? And suddenly an angel appears to him. It's Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger angel of God. And he tells him that his wife was going to have a baby, John the Baptist, right? And so she becomes pregnant, not supernaturally, but naturally. And then we come down here to verse number 26. I want you to look with me at verse 26. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. In verse 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning a sermon I've entitled, Jesus, Savior, King. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this Jesus that came, the Son of God, incarnate, in the flesh, God of very God, and man of very man. Lord, we thank you that he became the one and only God-man. And we thank you, Lord, that all those that call upon him shall be saved. We thank you, Lord, that his precious blood cleanses from every stain. We thank you, Lord, that his Holy Spirit is able to sanctify and keep us in your will. And we thank you above all for this holy word of God, Father, the Bible, that has recorded these events. And Lord, we thank you that the word of God liveth and abideth forever, and we can depend upon what it says. Thank you, Lord, that we are able in America yet to freely, publicly worship you. Though things are changing for the worse, we thank you for the freedom we still maintain in this nation. And Father, we pray for our nation this morning. We pray for multitudes of souls to come to know Jesus Christ this Christmas holiday. Lord, that they would reach out for the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to bless this message. And I pray, Lord, that wherever any soul is hearing this message, that if they're not saved, they would come and make that decision for Jesus Christ before it's too late, for time is running out. In Jesus' name we pray. The people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Great disaster of the world. When Adam from his throne was hurled, when the tempter seemed to win through unfathomable sin. Ah, but it was only seeming. Lo, the Christ has come redeeming. Yes, the poet is saying, man's worst disaster would have forever separated him and all his progeny from his Creator. But Jesus, Savior King, came along redeeming. Glory to God. This little child, stripped of all his glory in heaven, yet is still the mighty God. He's still glorious in his weakness. Yes, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? I'm so glad that God was manifest in the flesh for the sins of Bob Oliver. And he saved me from them. Beloved, I want to give you three things this morning. And I'll be done. Concerning our text here in Luke chapter 1. First, I want us to see his saving name. Amen? Second, we'll see his great character. And third, we'll see his glorious kingship. But first, observe his saving name. I love his saving name. It's Jesus. Amen? Verse 30 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." I'm so glad his name, I know his name. It's not Buddha, it's not Hare Krishna, it's not Allah or Muhammad. His name is Jesus. It's a saving name. Amen? Woo! I am so glad that the name of Jesus is above every name. You know the devil trembles when you mention his name? Oh yeah, the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. Yeah, why? Because of his name. That's a mighty name. And that's the only name that will conquer over sin and the powers of darkness. It's a saving name. Jesus. The Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua. It means Savior. Amen. You know what a Savior does? Oh yeah, he saves.
Amen.
He saves. Amen. And Jesus does a good job of it. Listen, his saving name reveals his purpose in coming. 2,000 years ago, and that was to save you and I from sin. I'm so thankful for that. Three things I want to give you concerning his saving name. First, as a Savior, he saves us from three things. First, from sin. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Flip back to Matthew. We're coming back to Luke, so hold your place there. And go to Matthew chapter 1. As a Savior, he saves us from three things. First, he saves us from sin. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. And the angel says to Mary, Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, I love that. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that if he didn't do it, you and I would be in bondage to sin this morning. You and I would have no victory over sin this morning. You and I would have no way of overcoming the flesh. It's through Jesus Christ's name. There's power in that name. Now, notice here in verse 21, he shall save his people from their sins. Not unto sin, but from sin. A lot of Christians got that backwards. Listen, folks, I'm so glad that he saves us from the defiling, condemning power of sin. He saves us from the natural love of sin. He saves us from the wrath, the penalty of sin. He saves us from sin by putting himself between us and our guilt. Amen? He took our punishment for our sins. For us. Spurgeon tells us that one time, a man named Noel Loper sent identical notes to the 20 most prominent men in London. The note read, and I quote, "All is discovered. Escape while you can." All 20 packed their bags and abruptly left town. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. See, the fellow was making a point. These officials, they were all corrupt. Sound familiar, America? And they all booked town because he said, "All is discovered. You're going to be found out." Secondly, something else about his saving name. His saving name, as a Savior, he saves us from self. I like this. Not only saves us from sin, he saves us from self. Listen, self-wisdom, self-effort, self-righteousness are all enemies from which we need to be delivered. And from which we are saved when Jesus comes to reign within. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ saved me from Bob Oliver. I was my own worst enemy. Hello? Anybody relate? And I'm so thankful that Jesus came along and saved me from my life and gave me a life worth living. Why? Because he saves us from sin. He saves us from self. Glory to God. Look in verse 69 of Luke chapter 1. Verse 69 we read, and this is Zechariah prophesying, "And he hath raised us up in horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." I'm so glad that he saves us from ourselves. Why? Because we're too weak to do it. We're unable. We need somebody stronger than us to do it for us. Why? Because of this. Hello? The flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh needs a supernatural power, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit delivers us from that evil propensity and sinfulness of the flesh. From the Wall Street Journal, for $500, a New York photographer will follow you around for 48 hours, filming your everyday life at home, at work and at play, which he then condenses into a 30-minute colored documentary movie all about you. That's the world. Me, myself, and I! Get all the gusto you can! What about Jesus? What if they followed you around for 48 hours? What would they see? I wonder. What would your 30-minute film debut be about? I pray it would be about reading the Bible. I pray it would be about prayer. I pray it would be about worship. I pray it would be about Jesus Christ and not me, myself, and I. Amen? Why? Because Jesus wants you to live for His honor and glory. He saves us from sin. He saves us from self. But thirdly, His saving name? He saves us from the world. I like that. Listen now. By being saved and crucified with Christ, we are crucified to this world and the world unto us. Listen, the cross of Christ comes between us and our sins, between us and the flesh, and between us and the world. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Hold your place again. Coming right back to Luke. In Galatians chapter 1, did you know that Jesus Christ saved you from this world? Yeah. I was once in bondage to it. I once walked according to the beat of its drum. I once walked according to the spirit, the devil that now works in the children of disobedience. But Jesus saved me from that. Look at it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. Folks, how many of you knows this morning that that world out there is evil? It'll suck you up and spew you out if you allow it to. It'll bring you into bondage to drugs, pornography, alcohol, sexual sin, all kinds of wickedness if you let it. Why? Jesus came to verse 4, deliver us from this present evil world. I'm so glad I'm not part of the world no more. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Amen? Every child of God should be able to say that. This world is not my home. Listen, United Press survey recently found that the typical American is a 27-year-old who does not read one book a year. He or she is materialistic, satisfied with carnal pleasures, bored with theological disputations. Although he may attend church up to 27 times a year, he has no interest in the supernatural. He is neither concerned with heaven nor hell. In fact, he has no interest whatsoever in eternity. His principal interests are football, hunting, fishing, and car tinkering. That's the world for you. That's the average American described right there. Jesus describes his disciples this way. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. Yeah. Amen? You're not supposed to be worldly. You're not supposed to fit in out there. You're supposed to shine out like an example of God's child. Amen? If the world can't see that there's something different about you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong in the picture. Listen, I'm so thankful that He saves us from sin. He saves us from self. He saves us from this world. Because of His saving name, folks. Because of His saving name. But I see something else. Notice His great character. Back to our text in Luke chapter 1. I want you to see His great character this morning. Look at it in verse number 31. 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be what?
Great.
Woo! He shall be great. Look at it. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. Listen, folks. He is the greatest thing that you've ever encountered in this world. Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater. I have no other message for you but Jesus Christ. Why? There's none greater. He's great. He's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you this morning. Listen, he's great in three ways. He's great first in his origin. Look at verse 32. He's great in his origin. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Folks, listen to me. As a child, Jesus was born. But as a son, he was given. Did you hear what I said? He was somebody else's son before he became a child in a manger. He was given by another father to you and I. Listen, he who was the highest descended to the lowest for our sakes. Wow. Isaiah 9, 6. Hold your place and Luke, we're coming back. Isaiah chapter 9. I love this passage. Show this to a Jew. They'll stop their mouth in their tracks. It happened this week. I was talking with a Jew on Facebook, and I brought him to Isaiah chapter 9. He was silent. Look at it. Verse number 6. For unto us, Israel, a child is born. I wonder who that is. Unto us, a son is given. You see that? He was already someone's son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He's wonderful. He's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is today, church. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's wonderful. And he's great. And he's awesome. You know what amazes me? Some things that people today boast about and brag about. I mean, you know, they're talking about their new iPhone and their iPad and their Nintendo. You can tell how old I am, right? Nintendo, Pac-Man. Folks, Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing that this world has to offer. He was the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Listen, folks, he had to borrow a manger because he had no beginning. He had to borrow a boat because he had no possessions. He had to borrow a pence because he had no obligations. He had to borrow a cross because he had no sin. He had to borrow a tomb because he had no ending. What a savior! He's great! But in his great character, he's not only great in his origin, he came from heaven, but he's great in his love. Go with me to 1 John. Hold your place in Luke again. 1 John. Not John's gospel, but 1 John's epistle. Chapter 4. He's great in his origin, and he's great in his love. Oh, what a great character. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Don't miss this. In 1 John chapter 4, look with me at verse number 10. All this is good. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. How many of you know this morning that God loves you? God is not your enemy. People in the world got it all backwards. Oh, God's so mean. He won't let me sin. No, he wants to save you from it. Look at it. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Listen to me. Without Jesus Christ, you are dead. You're a corpse walking. You know, these zombie movies, you know, zombie apocalypse. That's what, spiritually, that's what they look like. Verse 10. Herein is love. You want to know what love is? Herein is love. Oh, he loves me. No, he doesn't. He just wants to, you know, use you. Oh, he's so cute. No, he's not. He's a sinner. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Wow! Do you realize today how much Jesus Christ loves you? Do you realize what he had to go through for you to make heaven your home? To have your sins forgiven? To have the Holy Spirit within? Oh, he had to die so that you could live. I'm so thankful for this great love. He so loved us that he gave himself for us. And being the Son of the Highest, his love was of the highest order. Hello? Nobody can love more than God, but God is love. Listen, what manner of love is this? That we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Wow! That's amazing to me. He is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. A minister once said, when Mary and Martha sent to Jesus their message concerning Lazarus, it was not, Lord, he that loveth thee, but Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Amen. Never mind about your piddly little love for Jesus. He loves you so much, you can't measure it. Ephesians chapter 3 says, the depth, the height, the width, the length of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can't put a measuring tape to that, David. It's so great. It's unending, his love for us. All this great love. Listen, folks. It's not our imperfect love to Jesus that comforts us, but it's his perfect love to us. He's great in his origin. He's great in his love, but thirdly, he's great in his power. Look at verse 34. Luke 1. Look at verse 34. Don't miss this. He's great in his power. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Time out, church. When things are impossible with man, God is able. Amen. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the what? The what? Power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Why? Because of his power. Because of his power. Listen, folks, I want you to know something this morning. You serve a God who is omnipotent.
Yes.
That means all powerful. All power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, Jesus said. You want strength? Jesus has it for you. You want victory over sin? Jesus has it for you. You need power in your life to deal with those people that ridicule you at work? Jesus has power for you. Jesus has power for you to overcome any obstacle you face. Hear what I said? Why? Because he's almighty. He's great in his power. Oh, beloved, I'm so thankful for this powerful Savior we serve. Thus he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Someone said, God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is like Ford. He has a better idea. God is like United. He rules the friendly skies. God is like Pepsi. He's got a lot to give. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him. You'll like him. God is like Bear Aspirin. He takes the pain away. God is like Hallmark Cards. He cared enough to send the very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stain out others leave behind. God is like Mattel Toys. You can tell he's swell. God is like Frosted Flakes. He's great! Oh, yes, he is. Why? Because he's great. He's great in his origin. He's great. Listen, he's great in his love. And he's great in his power. But I got one more thing and I'll shut up. Folks, he's great. We've seen his saving name. We've seen his great character. But finally, notice his glorious kingship. His glorious kingship. Three things. How'd you guess? Three things. Concerning his kingship. First, that he will have an eternal throne. Look in our text at verse 31. First of all, concerning his kingship, he will have an eternal throne. Verse 31, we read, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now listen carefully, beloved. Jesus Christ is God's appointed heir to David's throne. Not the Muslim Brotherhood, not the Hindus. Jesus Christ alone will sit on that throne forever. He will sit upon it for all of eternity. Back to Isaiah 9. There's a verse we didn't read in Isaiah 9 that I want to call your attention to right here, right now. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 9. We didn't read verse 7. Look at it. Of the increase of his what?
Government.
He's a king. And peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David. I hope somebody's getting this. He's the rightful heir to the throne. Mm-hmm. Only the, listen to me, only the king's son could inherit the throne. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Only the king's son. And God's only got one. Look, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Mark it down. Jesus is going to sit on that throne no matter what the devil says. He doesn't like that. Listen, the only king, you got to hear this. You know I'm a historian. The only king to ensure himself against the loss of his throne in history was Prajak Hipok, King of Siam, from 1925 until he was forced to abdicate his throne in 1935. Listen, having taken out unemployment insurance policies with French and British underwriters early in his reign, Prajak Hipok was able to live comfortably on the income from his policies until his death in 1941. He had insurance policies on his throne. If I ever lose my throne, I'm going to collect. Folks, I got good news. The throne of Jesus Christ don't need no insurance. Amen. Amen. Because he shall sit upon the throne of David forever.
Amen.
Forever. I'm so thankful for that. But secondly, in his glorious kingship, not only does he have a glorious throne, but he will reign over a glorious kingdom. He will reign over a glorious kingdom. Look at verse 32 again. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 32 and notice his glorious kingdom. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob
forever.
Look at it. And of his what?
Kingdom.
Kingdom. There shall be no end. Listen to me, beloved. You are not spinning your wheels and beating the air this morning. You are serving a king that is going to rule and reign the universe for all of eternity. And you are his bride. Ooh, I'm so thankful this morning that we will... You know what a queen does? Every king needs a queen, right? A queen snuggles up next to the king. And she gets what she wants. Because she's the queen. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful that we are the bride of Christ. He is an eternal king over an eternal kingdom. Do you think Mary remembered this promise of verse 33 when she stood by and saw him crucified? Listen, do you think Mary believed God changed his mind about her little baby becoming an eternal king over an eternal kingdom? Think with me. Her son, as a king, had been rejected over his reign of Israel. His kingdom delayed for some 2,000 years now. Seemingly vanished the promise of God as she watched him bleed and suffer and die on the cross. But go with me to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, I believe Mary knew this verse. Amen? In Daniel chapter 7, watch this. I am so thankful that even though all seemed lost concerning the eternal king, when they nailed him to a cross, Mary had hope. Look at it. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are a member of the kingdom of heaven. And it will never be destroyed. No matter what the devil does. No matter what the world throws your way. No matter how much the flesh crops up its ugly head. His kingdom reigneth over all forever. I'm so thankful that he's a king and he has a throne and he has a kingdom. But one last thing he's got. Thirdly, in his glorious kingship, we see that his kingdom shall have no end. Back to our text, Luke chapter 1. This kingdom of his shall have no end. Look at it, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for a little while. Wrong version. That's why you need a King James Bible. Amen? And his kingdom, there shall be no end. No end. Now, folks, listen to me. The kingdom of God is within you right now. He is in you. The Holy Spirit brings the... Oh, this is so good. The Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven and we put you 6 feet under and I give you a eulogy. You can enjoy the kingdom right now because it's in you.
Amen.
It's in you.
Amen.
The kingdom of God that is within you shall certainly have no end. We shall never cease to be his subjects under the rule of him who is our exalted King and Redeemer. His glorious kingship demands that he have a throne. It demands that he have a kingdom. And it demands that his kingdom shall have no end forever and ever. 1 Timothy 6, we'll finish up here. Go with me to 1 Timothy. I want you to see this king in closing out our message this morning. Because he's the greatest there's ever been. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, look with me at verse 14. Don't miss this. Paul's final words. They beheaded him under Nero at Rome after he wrote this. Watch. His final words. That thou keep, verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, how many of you knows he's going to appear? Shortly. Some of you do. Verse 15. Which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Here's what I want you to see. He will show who is the only King of kings shortly. Serve him, beloved. Love him. Obey him in your daily life. Count him as your richest treasure. Obey his word. Walk in his Holy Spirit, and ye will be the sons and daughters of the Most High. You will never regret serving the Master. This is our message this morning. Jesus, Savior, King. In 2 Chronicles 9:22, Solomon the king said, "And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom." But let me tell you something, folks. King Solomon couldn't even be compared at all to the glorious King of Kings that you serve. He rules the universe for all of eternity. His name is Jesus, Savior, King. In closing, let me give you this from the UPI. Recently in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, teachers in a suburban school district were under strict orders to keep Christ out of Christmas in their district. Dr. Carl Newman, supervising principal of the Gateway Union School District, issued the order. He said, and I quote, "Any decorations or pageants depicting the birth of Jesus Christ would conflict with the Supreme Court ruling involving religion in public schools. Therefore, we will have no Christian Christmas this year. No Christ in Christmas this year in our school district." Signed, Dr. Carl Newman. Well, I've got news for Dr. Newman. It doesn't matter how many laws you pass. It doesn't matter how hard you try to erase Jesus Christ from Christmas, because it's all about him. It's always been about him, and it will always be about Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that nobody can erase the King of Christmas. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the master of the universe. But oh, how much more important he's the master of our lives. Lord, we have fallen in love with you since the day we met you and were born again by the Spirit of Christ. Father, we're so grateful that this Christmas holiday season, we celebrate your birth. We worship you for coming 2,000 years ago, for becoming the incarnate God-man. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing to come and live the perfect sinless life that we could never live. And then, when we trust you as Savior, you credit your perfect sinless life to our account as if we lived it. Lord, thank you for the doctrine of imputation. Thank you for the righteousness of God that you bring. Thank you for the gift. I emphasize the word gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, Savior, King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time and stand. We will close this morning with a hymn of invitation. And the altar is open if you need it. Let's open up to hymn number 20. I love hymn 20 because it speaks about our personal one-on-one time with him. Amen. There's nothing like it. I love you all, but I love being with him much more. In hymn number 20, we're going to sing all three. Let's stand.
I come to the garden alone, where the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the sun. And he tells me I am his own. sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells
this morning. I'm so thankful for that last stanza, and it says the voice, his voice to me is calling. Amen? To me, it's personal. All glory to God. Merry Christmas one and all, and don't forget, if you can, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be right here studying the intermediate state between death and resurrection. What happens after we die, but before our bodies are resurrected? Very interesting stuff from the Bible. I'm going to ask my son, Stephen, to dismiss us in prayer this morning, and I'll pray for them. They're on their way to Maine. Praise the Lord. And we'll be seeing them again. Praise the Lord. And don't forget, at 6 o'clock, if you can join us, Stephen, dismiss us in prayer. Love you all.
Dear God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the teaching from my dad. Thank you for being the true meaning of Christmas.
Mm.
And let's all go out and show everybody this week that it's you that Christmas is all about. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.